Good evening, everybody. Good afternoon, everybody. I am joined today by ladies first, Julia in Mannheim in Germany, and on the other side of the Atlantic, in alphabetical order, Igor, because he starts with IG, Igor in Curitiba in southern Brazil, and one time zone further west, Isma, IS, in Campo Grande in Brazil. So welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another Tuesday get together. How are you all? Julia, how are you today?
I'm fine. I had a stressful week, but right before this meeting, I took a walk and it calmed me down. So now I'm fine.
It calmed you down. So you are de-stressed and raring to go. Yeah. Okay. Isma, what about you? How are you today?
Today, I'm having an hectic day because I had to went out to manage some things. Then I came back to eat something and to take part in this get-together. And after that, I will have to go out again to manage some other things.
And as you said before we went on air, it's 30 degrees in Campo Grande today, yeah?
Yes, 30 degrees.
Lovely. We would like some as well. Igor, what's news with you from Curitiba?
It's everything quite good. There isn't so many news, but I would say today it's a very quiet and relaxing day. I didn't go to a walk yet. Actually, I did in the morning with my girlfriend's dog.
Okay.
And tonight I'm happy because I'm going to do jiu-jitsu with a friend. Mm-hmm. And I have nothing to complain about. You have been very fine.
Our topic for today is actually one that came from Martin in Kassel. And he is actually an interesting person because he works for a Swiss railway company. They produce locomotives and not so much locomotives as trains. It's a huge company. And so on the one side, he is on the forefront of technology, working with software and developing software programs for train systems, etc. But privately, he's actually a very old-fashioned person. He drives a very old Mercedes. I think it's probably about 30 years old or something like that. He gets his weather report from a system called Teletext. I don't know if in Brazil you know what that is. But there used to be sort of in the Stone Age time, before computers were sort of much more in use than they are now, you used to be able to go to a part of a TV program and it would show you information like on a computer screen, and you would have these different slides with the news and traffic information and the weather report. Yeah. And so he gets his weather report from this old fashioned teletext system from his television. I think it's page 546 of his regional television network. And that is where he gets his daily weather report from, and it serves him well. The interesting thing is that somebody who is in the forefront of technology sometimes prefers to have old-fashioned things or mechanical things to get through the day with. So he's launched a discussion for the next couple of weeks about what is better, old or new. And I decided I'd take this up as a discussion topic for this evening. So Isma, you and I, we are baby boomers because we are in our 60s. And Julia and Igor, you are, I think, millennials, if not Generation Z. I'm not quite sure if you're on which side of the
board. I think it's millennial.
I think you're so-called millennials, whatever that means. Yeah. So the discussion, of course, is going to be interesting tonight because we have these two distinct generations. And so I'm going to ask the first question to Isma. Isma, do you think the world has become a better place since you were a child?
In some aspect, I suppose that new things are good when compared to old. But in some other case, older things are much better. For example, in this case, in your specific question, I suppose that the word is better in some aspects. For example, internet, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
We have more a more modern medicine. We have more resources for some to combat some diseases. But unfortunately, we have more efficient weapons when people and our soldier kill another one easier and maybe more drastically. And to talk to people in general, I don't like to talk to very young people, for example, teenager, because I don't have any subject in common with them. And even the vocabulary level or the type of language they use, I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
They, at least in Brazil, they use many bad words, and I don't like. I prefer to talk to middle-aged people or old elderly people. And in general, maybe I think it's 50-50%. In some aspects, the world is better and some other is worse.
Julia, you are, of course, a little bit younger, so you have a different perspective. Has the world become a better place for you since you were a child? And, of course, you are in Europe, not in Brazil, so totally different background, totally different experience. Has it become a nicer place since you have been a child?
I share Isma's opinion that it depends on the topic, I think. In some aspects, yes, and others, not. I think in general, it's hard to say if the world has become a better place.
So it's become a very different place, yeah?
Yes. That's right, I think.
And that depends, of course, on individual experiences, geography, and a whole host of things, yeah. Okay. Igor, over on the other side of the Atlantic, you are 30 years younger than Isma and myself.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about your childhood last week in the last get-together. Has it become a better place since you've been a child?
I think in general, yes. I think the world is a much better place in most of aspects. Of course, there are new problems, but if we compare the problems we had 100 years ago with the problems we have today, I think today it's better quality of life in general, of course. Like if you look into somewhere very specifically, it's hard to say because you have to compare this specific place. But in general, I think it's got very better. There is a very good book about that, by the way.
What would a meeting not be without you if we hadn't a book recommendation?
Yeah. I make a book club.
Well, that's a good idea, the Breeder Book Club. What is the title of this book?
It is The Rational Optimistic. It's a very good book.
I think I've read that one. It's basically that despite all the pessimism and all the problems, we have a huge survival instinct, and that will keep us going, yeah?
Yeah. Yes, and it bring data like about poverty, about hunger, about disease. So I think it's getting better, but we have very new problems and very difficult problems to solve. Maybe like the loneliness is the most dangerous one. That's one of the reasons I'm interested in mental health, because it is a problem and I don't see it getting better soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my diagnosis.
Okay. Julia, you probably won't remember this, but you and I, we had a conversation about maybe 2 years ago, where you were going to go to the railway station to pick up a friend. And it was also where I suggested that you put your your mobile phone away for the weekend and detox yourself. And you were at an absolute, almost panicking state of mind. I'm exaggerating a little bit, that you were going to go to the railway station, pick up your friend, and you wouldn't know if the train was on time, and you would be totally lost without your mobile phone. And I said, well, if the train is late, go to the espresso bar on the left-hand side of the station as you walk in, because they make probably one of the best espressos in Mannheim, a little more expensive, but certainly worth the money. And then I think the week after I asked you, did you manage to switch off your mobile and do without it? And you didn't. Yeah, you had to. I don't know if you remember the story, but is there something, Julia, that you cannot do without in your daily routine? That if it's almost like you feel incomplete. Anything that you must have that is essential to your daily routine, gadget wise, technology wise, or anything like that?
I remember the story you told, and I remember that I couldn't go out without my phone.
Mm.
I didn't feel good about it, especially because my friend, she didn't know that she couldn't reach me, so. I didn't leave my phone at home. I think today, if I don't have to pick somebody up, I could live without my phone. I use it very often during the day, but it's nothing essential that I do with it. I just check when my train comes or if somebody wrote me an email, but I don't do anything important with it, I think. But is there something essential? I don't think so.
Igor, what about the internet? It's not really that important, is it? You could do without it. It's just a hindrance.
No, yeah. Like, you mean if I could live without the internet?
Yeah.
No, I don't. Like, I have no idea who would be Igor without the internet. Not because of my professional life, but like everything I know is from the internet. I don't have any formal education on anything. Actually, I have a formal education in dairy technology. But everything I know, everything I research, I use internet for everything. I have no idea what I would be doing.
Can you remember the time before the internet, or are you as a millennial, did you grow up with the internet and that's why it's sort of part of your DNA?
Yeah, I can remember. I remember it was very, like back in Brazil, back where I lived, it was very common that children play in the streets, and every street had its group, so its gang, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the street in the front of my house was my gang, so I would play there. And one funny thing is that, like, there were many other gangs in the neighborhood, but we wouldn't see each other for 1 year. And when we saw each other, it was very, oh, how are you? Like, there's a long time we don't see each other, because we didn't talk to each other. There wasn't internet, and we are children. We didn't have a way to contact each other. But when I stopped to think, we were like 100 meters away from each other, but seemed like we were so far.
Yeah.
Because we didn't talk. Yeah, but yeah. I remember. And I played a lot of video games. I did skateboarding. I remember those times.
Isma, how about you? Is the internet a curse for you? Is your mobile phone a curse for you? Or is there something else that you find essential in your everyday life that if you didn't have it, it would be really, really bad.
As you said, we are baby boomers. When I started using internet, I was in my 30s. But today, if I wouldn't have internet, I will have some problem because, for example, we talked to each other on Friday and we're talking today. More Igor from Curitiba and Julia from Germany. And last week, I had a French class with a teacher that were in the south of France. Then without internet, it wouldn't be possible. Because my hobby is studying, is learning things more related to literatures and foreign languages. And my activities will be much damaged. I will have to restructure my routine. But of course, it would be possible, but it would be harder than that we live with internet.
Igor, would you agree with me that the landing of the moon is the best technical achievement that we have achieved as a race? Or do I sense a little skeptical look on your face as I can see you in front of me?
Ah, that's a very difficult question. Oh my God. As a race, I think so, like as a race, because we didn't achieve a lot of things as a race, if you stop to think. Like, so yeah, like if I am I don't know how to say English, but from someone from another planet, and I see that, like a spaceship leaving the Earth and going to the moon, I would classify it as a big achievement. And everything else I would see, I wouldn't classify as achievement. So using my logic, yes, it can be the biggest one. I hope to see the landing, the human landing on Mars is still in my lifetime. It would be very exciting. I would be very happy if I'm able to see it.
I would like to see that as well. Whether I will remains a question. I might just not make it. There is actually a space universe in Strasbourg, which is about 60 kilometers south of here. There's a space university, a very small private space university. One evening I met some people who said they would love to go to Mars. And at that time, it's about 6-7 years ago, I said, well, it's a one-way ticket because we have the technology to get there, but we don't actually have the technology or the resources to bring you back. So basically you go there and that's it, game over. Yeah, you spend the rest of your life on that planet. And they said, not a problem, not a problem. We would do that. And then I said, why? And they said, because planet Earth is in such a mess, it can only get better elsewhere. Yeah, so these young kids, they were in their early 20s, were quite prepared to sacrifice their life to build a new and possibly better future on a different planet, knowing full well that they would never be able to come back to planet Earth. Yeah. Julia, what about you? What's for you the greatest technical achievement that humanity has created, do you think? What is it for you?
What about the internet?
Why do you think the internet?
Because so many people use it every day and it connects people and it's everywhere.
Isma, what about you? The greatest technological achievement so far?
I suppose that we have achieved many of them in the last century. But when I was a teenager and a young adult, my dream was having not a big, but maybe a medium library. Then I thought one day I will have around 3,000 books in my personal library. I started doing that. Then I quit it. Oh, it's not a good deal because I have many problems to leave from one place to another because for myself, I wouldn't live for so long time in the same place. I like to move from time to another place. And today we have everyone who has an internet connection has a library at home. Of course, we have to pay for some articles, we have to buy some books. It's not possible to buy everything you'd like to read, to, or maybe even take a look at them. But I think it's marvelous to have a kind of library at home. I have been reading something from about a Cameroonian author, and I researched something about initiation for young male people in Cameroon, and that's interesting how people are against or pro, and of course there are some kind of female initiation too. And the most of us in the world who aren't African are against, but they think in a different way. But of course, some of them are against for male and female initiation. And if I didn't have internet, probably I would have some difficulty to read something about this subject. Internet, I think it's the most in the last 30, 40 years.
Okay. Question to Julia and to Igor. Isma would read a book or read something on the internet. What about watching a video on YouTube about this subject or any other subject? Do you think that watching videos is rapidly taking over reading books, articles, documents of any type? Igor, what do you think?
Yes, I think so. Actually, I was reading a few days ago that YouTube, at least in Brazil, is most visited than Google in Brazil. So yeah, I think it took over already. I like to watch videos to research for quick things, but when I want to understand, really understand some subject, I prefer books. But for quick things, let's say I want to research about what language do they speak in, let's say, the Philippines. I just want this information. So I would research for a video or maybe on Google. But if I want to understand the Philippines as a culture, I would go to a book. That's how I face it. Mm-hmm. But I think video already took over, especially if you consider social media, TikTok, Instagram, and all the social media we have that are based on video.
Julia, you and I, we were discussing earlier how you are at the moment in your pre-exam phase and that you are preparing for exams and you're still learning new things and there's a lot of information to soak up and to process. Would it actually be easier to do all of this if you could watch it on a video and not read lots of documents and lots of books? Would it actually be easier for you to continue your studies?
I think it depends on which type of learner you are. I think some people learn easier by reading and others by listening to somebody. So I think it depends on what type of learner you are.
Isma, what do you think about platforms like Facebook and Twitter and TikTok? Is it a waste of time? Is it important? Does it help you, or does it make you feel aggressive and lonely?
Among all of them, I don't use TikTok. I only watch some videos that some people send to me. And I don't use Instagram as well, because they put some text over another text. There are many photos, but I think it's something I consider like a craziness. I don't like Instagram. But Facebook, I open it at least once a day, and I think it's interesting. And not for me exactly, but mainly for retired people or solitary people, and probably mainly elderly people, because I think it decreases some loneliness from many people all around the world. They don't feel so alone with Facebook or some other social media that they use. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great tool in this case.
Mm-hmm. Igor, you mentioned earlier, and that goes to your one of the topics that is very important to you, mental health. Is there a link between mental health and social media?
Yes, there are a lot of links. I think it's not the, I wouldn't say it's the main reasons, but it's a very, very catalyst thing in the mental health issues we are facing right now. I think the main problem with social media is like how the algorithm works, because they, like, depending on the social media, they really value like you showing someone you are not. And especially for young people, it makes a very fake impression about the world. And you start to think that you are not good as everyone. You are not pretty as everyone. And it makes a lot of problem. So I have a sister, for example, she is 19 years old. And it's very clear to me when I talk to her that she doesn't want to appear in pictures. She always thinks she's less than everyone. And that's something I always existed, in my opinion. But now it's a very broad view about the world. Everyone thinks everyone is richer, prettier, stronger. And that's the beginning of a lot of mental health issues, in my opinion.
But you bring an important point there. And I ask you this also because of your marketing activities or your marketing background. I have a Facebook page, and mm-hmm. I am absolutely fascinated by the amount of detail I could target any advertising. It is almost down to I could target it to a street in Curitiba and say, I want to take your street. If I know where your street is, I could mm-hmm. actually target all my advertising down to the street that you live in. As an advertiser, I find that absolutely fantastic. As a consumer, it terrifies me because, of course, Facebook has this power to learn a lot about me. And it's not just Facebook, it's all the other platforms as well. And I have no control over it, because I've also noticed that the algorithms determine how many likes I get or don't get. Yeah. So if I spend a lot of money on Facebook, then the algorithms seem to do a lot of work and I get a lot of likes and I get a lot of reactions. And then if I don't do anything, it sort of just doesn't happen.
There's a saying in Brazil that there's no free dinner. I don't know if it's common in Europe, but it means that like nothing is free for the sake of being free.
Yeah.
Like I see the targeting, like the way they treat information. Of course, like in Europe, I know it's a bigger concern than here in Brazil, but I don't see as a bad thing. I see, like, because I think two arguments in favor of social media in this aspect. So advertising, it always existed in a capitalist society, and it will always exist. So as a consumer, if I use the advertiser, I prefer to see something I'm interested in. I will see anyway, so it's better to see something I might be interested in, my opinion. And about the safety of the informations, like unless those information or those informations are used to political things like happen in the United States, I don't see that. I don't think a company huge as Facebook will use my information to harm me. I don't see because it's not good to business. They don't want to harm me because they want me to be alive to consume of them. So those are the arguments. The main problem, in my opinion, is that like all the social media, they will do everything they need to do to engage you. And sometimes it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
That's my only concern. But I think the business model, especially talking about advertising, I think it's better for everyone, for who is advertising, for people who are consuming it. So I think it's a positive thing.
Can you blame the platform? Can you blame Facebook? Or is it the people? Because at the end of the day, Facebook is nothing more than a computer program. Do you think that these social media platforms are actually fundamentally good, but it's the people who are bad, or some of the people who are bad?
I don't think that people are bad in general, but I don't think that a platform can be bad either. So I think the platform is what people make of it.
Okay, so it is down to the individual at his or her responsibility to use the platform wisely, sensibly, and do what he wants. Did you listen to the news today?
No, today I didn't have time to open any sites from break news. If Brazil eats fire outside, I don't know till now.
Okay. So can you trust the news that you read?
No, absolutely not. Unfortunately, I can't trust on them.
Why not?
Because nothing and no one is impartial or neutral on our words. And even myself, I'm not neutral when I say I stereotype my point of views. In certain point, I want to show how much I know about some subjects. I want to convince someone, or maybe I would like to impress some girl how much smart I am. Then we aren't neutral in anything we do.
You haven't missed anything, so not consuming the, not even consuming, but reading or watching the news, it's not really a problem. Is it really important to know what is happening in Europe from a Brazilian perspective?
Yes, it's very important. I read the news every day. Today is an exception that I haven't, because I hadn't time.
You haven't time.
Today I haven't for this activity.
Yeah, that's another point. Igor, I want to take it to Twitter. Twitter now belongs to Elon Musk, and he has a few dollars or euros or currency units more than the four of us put together. And I heard this morning that he recommended that everybody vote Republican in the midterm.
Oh, really?
Yes, he said that.
Wow.
Everyone should vote the Republican Party in the midterm elections in the United States, which are, of course, happening today. And I wrote in the introductory piece here, I like the car Tesla, but I don't know if I would want to buy it now because I just don't like the connection Twitter and Elon Musk. What is your opinion about his taking over of Twitter? And do you see it as being good, bad, dangerous, interesting? How would you judge this?
I suppose it's interesting. It's hard to know what he is planning or what he is going to do. But I think it's dangerous, like, because Twitter, different from some technology or like Tesla or SpaceX, like Twitter is strong enough. You can change the public opinion about anything. And having one person with this power, in my opinion, is very dangerous. I have no idea what would happen, what's gonna happen. But I think it's dangerous. I like, not because he's Elon Musk. Actually, I like some things about him, but I think anyone in the world should have this power, you know, to form like the opinion of so much people. But I don't know the solution as well, because what can you do? Like, as a government, like, it's hard to know. And it's the kind of problem that humanity have. And we have no idea what to do.
Yeah.
When we make sense about everything, but as it's happening, like, I have no clue.
Yeah. Yeah, we are forced in a situation of we have to wait and see what happens. We can no longer be we can no longer be proactive. We have to be reactive because we just don't know where this is all going to. Isma,
as you said, Frank, he asked for people to vote for a Republican, and I remember that it was in 2020. Twitter blocked Trump accounts, and I suppose that Twitter was Runned by a Democratic supporter. I think now has just changed. Of course, having Elon Musk as Twitter owner, probably he'll make more difference, influence more people, because not only because he's the Twitter owner, but because even beside that, he's a very big influencer in the world, and probably would be a little more bigger tendency to Republican supporter with Elon Musk at the direction of Twitter. But I think it's almost the same. I have just changed the side.
Yeah, that is a valid point, because I think it was, what's his name, Jack Dorsey? It was the person who set this all up a few years ago. And I think he was a Democrat or is a Democrat. And also, by banning Donald Trump from the platform, you set a precedence. But of course, this is a really difficult subject, because of course, you should be able to voice your opinion, but at what point do you, you know, stop and ban somebody because he is saying very, very bad things, putting it mildly, hate speech and all these conspiracy theories. And yesterday, the head of the Wagner Group in Russia, this private army that's sort of operating a lot in Africa and in the Ukraine, he actually said, I can't remember what his name is, but he actually said, yes, we did try to influence the presidential elections in 2020, and we will continue doing this. Yeah. So this whole background is going to continue. Back to a slightly more down-to-earth subject. I read somewhere that because of all of this technology and all of this two-finger typing system, people can no longer talk to each other or have a decent conversation. And one of the reasons why restaurants are finding it difficult to get waiters or servers is because they cannot interact with people. They can maybe take an order, but they can't actually explain anything or have a halfway decent conversation. And Isma, you said at the beginning you don't like talking to the Generation Z, I think they are now, because you have nothing in common. You can't communicate with them. Why is that?
I finished a university course in 2019. And the majority of students were in their 20s, I would say from 18 to 22. And when we had to do something in a group, they didn't want me in their group. The most of time I had to do my homework alone because they didn't want me. And when I took part in some of group with a teenager, it was a kind of difficult to interact with them. And the most of things that I said in classroom, they criticize me. They don't accept different points of view, of course. I criticize them, but for them, it's easier to criticize other people than people that are older or that have lived more. I think young people criticize others very easily.
Julia, what about you?
I hear what Isma says because now at the university, I'm 10 years older than most of the students. So they are 18 to 22. And I don't see it as strong as Isma does. But I, who are 10 years older, I also find it difficult to communicate to them.
Do you have any idea why this is?
I think, I don't know. I mean, my colleagues at university, they are really, really nice people, but they are in a different situation than I am. They are just out of school and started studying in a different city, and they have other preferences, other things they like to do. They really like to go out, and I think the study isn't as important to them as it is for me, because I have already worked, I have already studied. For me, it's the thing I know I want to do, and sometimes it's difficult.
Coming to the end. I know, Julia, this is something that interests you a little bit. There's a picture of a robot directing the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. When you see this, what do you think?
From a technology point of view, I think it's great that robots can do this. But when I think about what I would like to see when I go to a theater or a concert, I think it has nothing to do with the art.
Isma, what about you? Yes, you take care of your mother. You support your mother. Suppose you organize a robot so that you could go back to Curitiba and there is artificial intelligence looking after the needs of your mother.
I suppose that when we have some tool, or in this case, a robot to do things for us, and it doesn't something that requires some rational capacity, I think it's good. But if you have a robot to do things that require our rational capacity, and we use robot for that, I think it can be a good thing for immediately, but for our species in the future, I think it's not good, because as much as we use our body and our mind, I think you become better and better, and the opposite is true, I think.
So you're saying that the more we use artificial intelligence, the more stupid humans will become.
That's right. That's what I said.
Interesting thought. What do you think, Julia? Do you think that three generations from now, when we are surrounded by artificial intelligence, that science fiction will become true, and that we will be controlled by robots and told what to do, just like this orchestra here?
I don't think so. But I also don't know. I don't think that artificial intelligence will
dominate.
Yes, I think it will be an added thing and nothing to exchange the human
to replace
human beings. Yes.
Last question, Isma, are you optimistic about the future or are you pessimistic of the future as we sort of look at the past 60 years and we scan into the future?
If we can and we change the way we think and we act, maybe we can have a better future than we have now in the 21st century. If you continue in this way, in a selfish way and violent, and probably our future wouldn't be good. It depends on us, in my opinion.
That is true. Julia, what about you? You're a couple of years younger. You'll be our age and we'll be probably long gone. Are you optimistic or pessimistic?
I am optimistic.
Why?
Because as Isma said, it depends on us. And I think... I think we have everything we need to change. We only have to do it.
So let's do it. I think that the conclusion that we can probably take is that we don't know a lot of things because we are in completely uncharted territory. And that's a challenge, but also a future.